Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning. This is Paula Granquist, and you're listening to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. I hope it's a place that you come to wake up that imagination and join me for some great stories and some great conversation. And today I'm going to open up with a little bit of music. I've definitely been having a few of these. This is a song called Crazy Dreams. It's from Lucy Kaplansky, who came to Northfield, maybe that was a month ago. And this is from her album Every Single Day, and I've been having a lot of crazy dreams, so I'll give you a little more after we listen to a bit of Lucy Kaplansky on Art Zany Radio.
Snowbound siren, hold on. There's a blizzard blowing in from Mountain River. It's 10 below on the city street. The feel in your heart is even cold. Sunrise screeching down the line, fog banks running out of time. You'll be here when they creep in tomorrow. Tired of dreaming someone else's dreams, and they really don't include you any longer. Miles from home, you're sliding down each day. Love to make you stronger. Lately you've been getting doubts. Voice inside keeps calling.
And that was Lucy Kaplansky on Art Zany Radio. Thank you, Lucy. She came to the 411 concert series, and she's such a great storyteller. Again, that one was from Every Single Day called Crazy Dreams. And, you know, I've been definitely thinking about that a lot. I've been thinking about how do we catalog our journeys and what is it that we should hang on to from our past adventures and what do we let go of, especially from our creative lives. And that's because I've been cleaning out my office studio. There's certainly a lot of history in there. There's drafts of writing and pictures that my kids drew, comments on my writing, photos I took, notes from classes, journals, art tools, teaching plans, and so much of my creating journey. And it's hard to decide, what do I want to revisit? What has served its purpose and what will be important in the future? And they're definitely challenging questions, and I don't know that I have the answers, but I am trying to figure out how to store these so I can access them, what I need to carry with me, what do I want to display or file, and how do we weigh the pieces of us that helped create who we are today. So the best answer that I can come up with is find some help. It's a big journey, and sometimes we ourselves can't see what makes sense, or maybe there's an alternate way to do something that you've always done, and someone to help explore those pieces of you who can really try to see who you want to be and help to push you to let go of things that are holding you back and keep those things displayed that inspire you. And I think that's really important. Find someone willing to take the time to know you and how all your stuff fits into your world. Definitely somebody gentle and positive and supportive and who asks good questions. So I feel really lucky to be working with Kate from Declutter and Redesign. And my wish for all of you is that you will find someone that can help you guide and make these decisions about what you need to keep and what you can let go and where you can bring all of these pieces of you to help someone else grow, so that if you're finished with something, you can pass that on and make room for what you really want in your life. So it's a pretty incredible experience, challenging, and it makes me think back to who I was before and when I was in high school or college. And today we're going to feature an incredible story. We have some incredibly talented artists in this community. It's just amazing to me that even our kids' art program that starts early on has such incredible instructors and projects, and I really love the spirit that we foster in this community. And so today I'm going to celebrate with the Northfield High School Honors Art students. I have three of them here from the new Northfield Arts Guild Gallery show. Katie Brust, Anne France, and May Hayes joined me for an interview we did just a few days ago. Their new show at the Northfield Arts Guild is called Depart, but of course art is A-R-T at the end of that word, Depart from the Norm, and that is part of the Northfield High School Honors Art Show, which opens on the 16th of May and runs through June 9th of 2017. You can get all the details at northfieldartsguild.org under the Visual Arts Galleries tab in the main gallery. And they do have an artist reception that they want to invite you to. That's on Friday, May 18th from 7 to 9. And they're having some artist talks at 7:30. It's really a great place to go and support these young artists as they're adventuring onto their journey. I had such a great conversation. I think you'll enjoy as well. They've been working all year. 15 students, there's juniors and seniors in the class, and they've created a cohesive and professional body of thematic work that's on display at the Arts Guild. There are illustrators, painters, potters, sculptors, mixed media specialists, and even some computer illustrators in this show. So I hope you'll enjoy the conversation on Art Zany Radio today. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. It is quite exciting to have you here. I love hearing the perspective from artists that are on their career path and heading towards, I bet you're not sure quite what. And I think that's kind of an exciting thing and an exciting place to be. So I'd love to start just by having you give some introductions so that our listeners can hear your voice and we can learn a little bit about each of you. Feel free to let us know maybe your school, although you're all from Northfield High School, of course, and anything you want folks to know about you or your art story. And why don't we start with Katie on the left? Yeah, and you'll tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hi, I'm Katie Brust. I'm a senior currently at Northwood High School, and I'm currently looking at going to the University of South Dakota, Vermilion, to study studio art and biology. So that's where my career path is taking me. And through the art program, I've done 12 art classes, two of them being honors art. And so this is my second year with Annie and May, and we've all been involved in scholastic arts, which has also been fun.
Tell me what Scholastic Arts is.
It's basically a nationwide program that helps Northwood High School students or high school students in general be acknowledged. And so all of us have participated in it after being encouraged by our art teacher, Mrs. Norrie.
And is that where you create a portfolio or?
You can as a senior. So I think all of us did portfolios, right?
Yeah, all of us did.
Which is super fun. You guys can talk more about that.
Yeah. So you have definitely decided that art wants to be a part of your future as well.
Absolutely, yes.
And biology. Now, do you imagine, I guess I know of some artists that have done like drawings, drawings for
anatomical purposes,
right.
Yes, absolutely. So I might look into that. It's kind of an interesting segue.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just see where the future goes.
That's exciting. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm thrilled that you're here.
Thank you.
And also we have May. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm May Hayes. I also go to Northfield High School. I've also taken 12 classes, two of them being Honors Art.
Wow.
With Katie and Annie. Next year I'm going to Winona State for their program called iDesign, which is, it's like a graphic design major, which I'm really excited about because it has to do with art and what I've been doing for the past 12 or 13 years. So I'm going to continue with art.
Now, is that 12 art classes at the high school?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. It's kind of like you get to major in art, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if that they
well,
call
it. We have such a good art program. They have so many classes, and there's so many that I haven't taken still, but they keep adding to them, and I think that they're really good.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Well, good luck at Winona. That's exciting.
That's
right. I forget that, at this point in the year, you got to know what you're doing for the next fall.
Yeah.
And that's always a great place to be.
Mm-hmm.
Let's meet our other artist here today. Anne, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name's Anne France. I also go to the high school with Katie and May, and I'm a senior as well. I've taken, I think, 10 classes, so couldn't fit as many into my schedule, but I took as many as I could. I'll be going to the University of Minnesota Twin Cities next year, and I'll be studying architecture and graphic design. So
again, carrying your art with you.
Definitely.
And that's a really great foundation.
Yeah.
Tell me about the art that each of you are producing, and I think it's kind of fun. Maybe before we do that, I'm curious because you've been together for so long. That's an aspect of this that I haven't been able to explore in the past. And what does it mean to have familiar faces in your art classes, where sometimes it's hard, you have to be a little vulnerable, you have to try some new things, learn from your mistakes, and what is that world like at the Northfield High School in the Honors Art program?
Well, we've been together, I mean, all of us have probably had at least like 3 art classes together, and all of us have been in Honors Art twice now, and we were the only juniors last year in Honors Art, so that kind of bonded us together. And since we're together so much within the art program at the high school, we really understand each other's styles. And so when we're in critiques or we're seeing each other's artwork, we can kind of understand the process that each other went through and see, oh, this doesn't quite look like you, or this is so you, it's perfect. And so, yeah, it's kind of like a mini community within our art community.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating when you said that you recognize each other's, a piece. You can say that fits what I feel. Is it that you feel that person coming through, that you know that's a genuine piece that's reflective of them? Is that maybe what you were saying when you said this is you?
Yeah, you can see everyone's personal styles, like. I always say this, May uses purple and pink a lot, and those are the colors that I associate with her with. And so she just recently finished an acrylic piece with purple and pink, and during our critique, I was like, this is you. This is so you, because it's just what I think of when I see her artwork, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for each of you, what has it been like being in that community of artists through your high school career?
I think it's just like gives everyone a safe space, and I can remember in 9th grade I was really nervous for the first critique, but compared, like, I cannot give a presentation to save my life in any other class, but for critiques I can go up there and talk about my art, talk to everyone in the class, and it's not even just honors art, like any other art class I take, the teachers just make us feel so comfortable talking to everybody. It's just like a small community, like you said.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Katie?
I think what's been so fun is just seeing everyone grow as artists, and particularly having collaborations. Like, I know Annie and I do t-shirts together sometimes. And also just all three of us also went on the Europe trip through the art program, so that was super fun to just get to know each other, and it's been a really fun few years.
What? This sounds so incredible. What
I know. It's really been a little bunch.
You can't just skip over that. You have to tell us a little bit. How did the art class take a trip to Europe?
Well, basically, so we had a combination of history, art, and foods teachers take us there, and we went to the Louvre and different art museums and architecture, and so just learning through that experience, I think we all came back as more experienced artists, and that's been really fun to see in honors art throughout the years as well. I think it really helped all of us.
How is it that I get enrolled at this? That sounds like an incredible program. My goodness. Well, we should tell our listeners, we are talking about the Honors Art Program. Again, they have an opening reception on Friday the 18th from 7 to 9 at the Northfield Arts Guild. That's a part of the Northfield High School Honors Art Show. Now, am I saying depart from the norm? I guess I didn't check with you ahead of time.
Yeah, it's a little play on words, so depart from the norm.
Okay, I don't have to.
Emphasis on the art.
Right, you would definitely want to have that. You should tell a little about the work that you've been building and the way that you picked the pieces that you're going to be having in this particular show, and create kind of a verbal story of your visual work for our listeners. Anyone want to jump in and be first?
Sure. So this is my second year doing honors art. The first year I explored a medium called resin, which is basically like liquid plastic. It's an epoxy that you use to cover tabletops, and it gives it kind of like a glassy, hard finish. It's a lot of times used on like bar counters or something. And so I mix it with paint and pigments and inks, and I pour it onto surfaces, and it kind of marbleizes. It looks a lot like stone. Mm. So last year I was pouring on wood, and I would make 30 by 30 inch pieces. So they're pretty large, and they're mostly colorful. And so this year I wanted to expand on what I did last year. So, because I really loved the uniqueness of the medium. And so this year, I needed to make it more interesting. I needed to branch out from what I did last year. So this year, I'm pouring resin on plexiglass, and I've increased the size quite a bit. I'm pouring on 2-foot by 4-foot pieces of plexiglass, and so they're pretty transparent, and they look a lot like stone.
Oh, so because you don't, but last year it was the woods,
right,
which you could probably see through and see the grain a little bit.
Right.
And then this will be, is it translucent or?
Yeah, it's translucent. It's transparent in some parts. It's opaque in other parts. It kind of varies across the piece, and they're hung so that they stand off about 2 inches from the wall, so you can really see behind it and see the transparency in the pieces.
Now, how did you connect with this material? Because it's not a typical artist, you know, in your toolbox.
Yeah, definitely not. My dad works in retail for paints. He's a sales manager. I don't know how to explain it. He runs a paint company, basically, and so he's involved with a lot of hardware kind of materials, I guess, and so he has all of these samples from different companies, and he had a resin sample from a company called System 3 Resins, and so I tried it out on a piece of wood, and it looked super cool. So I reached out to System 3 Resins, and they donate 3 gallons of resin to me both last year and this year, so I could make my pieces, because it's a pretty expensive material. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into it.
And that's what the way a lot of things happen is, you just kind of encounter in your everyday life something that makes you a little spark inside, say, "Ooh, I wonder what I could do with that." Or and you mentioned the hardware store, and I actually kind of think that that's a fun place to go get ideas, you know, shapes and different, you know, things that you can twist and turn, and different ways I think it's just a fun place. So people don't often think about that. So I'm glad that you're doing that. I can't wait to see them. I'm still trying to imagine what the the finished piece looks like, and how do you know when, you know, because once it sets, right? It's
right.
And how long is that setting process?
Yeah, it sets after about 72 hours, so it takes quite a while, and it starts setting about an hour after you've mixed the resin.
Mm.
So I have to work fairly quickly, but it's an amazing process. It's super cool to watch, like, I'm doing it, but even I like looking at videos of just, like, the pouring, because it flows, like, almost like corn syrup. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of the consistency of it, and it's just kind of mesmerizing, and I think that quality carries through when you look at the piece, because it has this glassy finish, and it's a bit confusing, because it's like, what is this? But it's really satisfying, too, because it's so calm looking, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to describe.
Yes, well, I'll have to go see it. So, how do you control that process, or what, or do you get to control? What are the elements you can control? Maybe I'll ask it that way. And what are the elements that kind of are left up to, you know, how things mix and combine?
Yeah, I can control it to a certain point. I can decide, like, I want this color focused on this section, and like strips of this color on a different section, but I can't really decide how the colors are going to react with each other, and so they can create like holes in the resin, kind of. I don't know how to explain it, like cells almost, and it can marbleize with certain colors in a different way. I think it has to do with chemical reactions that I don't really understand, but I use it to my advantage, so.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating, and that's, I think, something fun, too, is just the idea, the way that you're playing with a medium and experimenting, something that not a lot of people have seen or done.
Yeah.
Who knows where it'll take you.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. Thank you so much, Anne, for sharing that with us. Let's hear from May. Tell us about the work that you've created for this show at the Arts Guild.
Okay, so I was also in Honors Art last year, and I did pen on paper, which was very controlled, obviously, and this year I wanted to do something like a little less controlled, so I have seen these videos on Instagram or social media or YouTube, and it's called acrylic pouring.
Mm.
And so
you guys are really getting me with some new stuff here.
Yeah. And then I just started looking up videos of how to do it, and all the different like variables it had, it changes so much, just whatever you like prefer to add. And then I started doing that a few weeks before Honors Art started, and I was like, oh, I really like this. And so I just decided to do that for Honors Art this year, since I didn't have a like 100% I wanted to do this idea, and I really liked it. So
how is that material different than the resin?
So mine's acrylic, just like the acrylic paint you'd like paint on a canvas.
Okay.
And I water it down so that it's runny, and then I add, it's like a paint additive called Floetrol for painting walls, just to make the streaks go away, but it has a reaction with acrylic paint, and then I add rubbing alcohol to it, and that has some other reaction to it. And
you guys are like experimental chemists.
And then I like mix all the colors in cups, and I do what's called a dirty pour, so I pour like a little bit of a color in the like a separate cup, and then another color in a separate cup, and I just keep doing that until all of the colors are in one cup, and then I put it on a canvas upside down, and then like just lift up the cup and then let it go however it wants, and you can tilt the canvas to get the paint kind of even, and then I let it dry, and then after that I kind of wait until it's set and everything, because then I can kind of see it. I kind of see an image in it, but I'm also sticking with the theme of up north, because I spend a month out of every year at my cabin, and so I have a lot of things that remind me of that. So I did one where it was a lighthouse in Grand Marais, because that's right next to my cabin, and then for a lot of the other ones, I've been sticking to flowers that I see at my cabin all the time, and I think that flowers fit really well with it, because a lot of the like I smooth the background a little bit, and then bubbles come up in the paint with a darker color, and I think that it looks a lot similar to flowers than like a landscape or a sunset or something like that. So I draw just with Sharpie or black paint a flower on top of it. And that's what mine is this year.
Wow. So that's something I've never seen before either. And I'm trying to imagine what that... Does it look like paint then?
Yeah, it would just... It looks similar to if you just painted like a streak of acrylic on paper mm-hmm. and let that dry. It's kind of matte, but it's similar to that.
Okay. And then you add that with the marker mm-hmm. over that to give it some concreteness?
Yeah. And I think that the marker or paint contrasts with it a little bit because I tend to use like white and a color or a few colors. So the black really stands out on top of it.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. That's exciting. I'm very impressed with the way that each of you are working in some new mediums. Thank you very much, May. Let's hear from Katie. What tell us about the work that you have at the show.
So my work is definitely less molecularly based. I stick with colored pencil and oil paint mostly. Last year I started doing people with colored pencil associated with different insects that have different meaning, and so that was the inspiration for my AP Studio Art portfolio this year. But for Honors Art, I've been doing national parks and oil paint, and so I started off with typical oil paint but transitioned into watercolor-based paint because that's a little bit more easy and it dries quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of the best of both worlds, watercolor and oil paint mixed. I've really been enjoying it. I just want a lot of people to recognize the beauty of national parks and preserve them. So that's really been my inspiration and my artist statement going forward.
What's your connection then to national parks?
My family bought passes last year and we've been to a few of them. And so it's really just a family connection, a social connection. And I really fell in love with hiking in them. And so I find a lot of inspiration through my photos and experiences there.
And so are you making, would you call it paintings or illustrations? Or
A bit of both.
Okay.
Mostly paintings for this year. But
and are they from memory or do you take photographs and then paint from the photograph?
From photographs, my personal photographs.
And how do you know when you've got something that you want to translate into a painting?
Normally it's just an experience I really enjoyed or a place that was important to me. And so I usually go just off of feeling and connection to those photographs.
As I'm listening to each of you, I'm wondering if when you're creating these pieces, knowing that they're probably going to be at the show, or I mean, not everything that you do would be there, but that a lot of what you're working on, does it make it harder to keep your mind in that sense of play? Or are you feeling like this is work? How are you managing that dynamic of, you know, experimenting and, you know, working on making a professional piece? You want to go ahead, Katie?
For sure. I think it's always difficult to have that break away from what you want to paint and what will sell in a show. And so I've definitely been trying to have personal connection, but also make sure it's applicable to different audiences. I'd say, though, painting is always interesting and fun. It's always fun to make art, and so that you never lose that aspect of it. And I really enjoyed it, and
mm-hmm.
it's been a good year so far.
How about, Anne, for you, the idea of work and play, and how do you kind of keep keep balanced with that, of experimenting, especially when you're using a material that not a lot of people use, and making sure that you're working towards finishing a project in a professional manner?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pressure because you have to constantly be thinking about, okay, there are going to be hundreds of people who are going to see this all together on a wall, and you want it to look good. So you have to think about, okay, is this piece going to go with this piece? Is this piece going to go with this one? And it takes a bit of the experimentation out because you have to think, for me especially, I can't just try something else.
Because the materials are expensive and then therefore limited, so
right.
You need to be sure.
Right, it's time consuming too, and so I have to really think about what I'm going to do before I do it. And I love playing with color, but for this series, I've got kind of a galactic theme going on, and so I have to stick with my blacks and whites and golds, and I love the way it looks, but it is limiting, but I love the final collection,
mm-hmm.
how it looks all together.
And how were the pieces selected? I guess, was it a group decision or each individual artist decided or your teachers helped you select? How were the pieces that you're going to have in the show picked? May, you can start.
we all just pick our own pieces that we want, and normally Mrs. Nori sets a limit to, like, last year we had 5, right?
Mm.
5 pieces each, because we had 25 kids in the class. But this year we have such a small class, we only have 15, that we can put in 6 pieces. And so I tend to just pick my favorites, or, like, what I think would look best on the wall together.
Mm.
So it's still that, like, I want it to look nice, and I want it to be meaningful to me, but I just tend to do it on what I think would go well together.
Either one of Katie or Anne?
Sure. Basically the same thing. I pick what I connect with and what I think will be interesting for people to view. Also, definitely the ones I put the most time into and effort, and the ones I really feel will represent me the best as an artist. I think that's how I make my decision for the 6 pieces this year.
And now, since both or all of you have had the experience, because you were in last year's show as well, what is it you're learning about doing a gallery show and having those pieces? Now that's your second time, what did you learn from the first time that you had a show?
I think consideration of size and how easy it is to hang them. My pieces are pretty heavy. The current ones I'm doing are about 20 pounds each, and so I really have to be conscious of not making them so heavy that they're, like, impossible to hang on the wall, and making them easy to hang on the wall, since I'm doing it myself with a drill and a level.
Right. Yeah. And that, I think hanging a show is one of the more challenging things. You mentioned, trying to make sure that they are cohesive, that they displayed together, they look right. Do all the students work then on making the show, or does each person have this is a section that you get to work on?
Each person has their own section. I mean, it doesn't have much to do with, like, if my pieces look good next to Katie's, we could go together, but we don't have to. It's just more based on, like, this is my space, that's Annie's space, that's Katie's space. We all have our own section.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to take you back a little bit. And earlier in the show, I talked about, you know, what do you save, what do you keep, how do you make decisions about what's going to carry it for you into your artistic journeys ahead. And I'm wondering, for each of you, because now you're seniors and you're thinking about moving, you know, I'm sure you won't have much room in your dorm room to have a spot, you know, maybe what do you hope you can keep from your early years as an artist, and what do you envision taking with you? I guess we'll just start with that.
Well, for my pieces, since resin is used as an epoxy to cover tables, I've made tables out of the resin. And so I've made desks, and I'd love to take those to college. Yeah, furniture, I guess.
That's probably an unusual thing for everybody.
Yeah.
How about for each of you? Maybe I should also, you know, think, I'm thinking about, because as I mentioned, I had been going through a lot of my kids' things that I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if this would be important. What if they turn out to be an artist and they want to have this piece? And what's a scribble? What's a real meaningful moment?
Right.
And so what do you have from what you, when you were an early artist, or when do you go back and look at that stuff?
Recently, we cleaned out our garage just in preparation for my grad party, and I know that my mom kept a lot of my artwork and, like, all the goofy things I did when I was younger. She still has them in boxes, and that's what we're sorting. And I think it's nice to have those now, to just look back and be like, oh, remember when I drew a stick person? And I think that it's a good idea to keep some of that stuff, but, like, obviously space is a big part of that. And if we didn't have the space that we did, we might not have kept it. But I think keeping a few of the little things is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. How about for either of you, Katie or Anne?
As far as material things go, I think I will take a few pieces that were certain turning points for me, maybe in competitions or showings I really feel proud of. I'll take a few of those with me to college. But also, I have a fun story from when I was little. I used to draw the left side of the piece with my left hand and the right side with my right hand. And so hopefully, in a more metaphorical sense, I'll keep my creativity and passion for artwork into me throughout all stages of my life. Just continue to do that because it's been what I want to do for a very, very long time.
And now, do you still
No, yes, I'm less ambidextrous now thanks to schooling and all that fun stuff. But that's definitely a fun memory.
That is a really fun memory, and that's a really unique idea for a young, you know, a child to come up with, having it be split and thinking that the sides were, you know, that you were working on both sides.
Definitely interesting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really fascinating. Folks, if you're just tuning in, this is Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I'm here with Katie Brust and France and May Hayes. We're talking about the Honors Art Show, which is going up at the Northfield Arts Guild on May 16th. So it's not quite yet displayed. You're probably getting ready to do that. And the artist reception is on the 18th, so that's next Friday from 7 to 9. And there's an artist talk at 7:30, so it's an opportunity to meet. There's 15 junior and senior artists in this show, and they have worked tirelessly, I'm sure, all year long to prepare for this show. We should talk about some of the other mediums or the other student artist work that will be in the show to kind of give an idea to folks of what kinds of things can you do when you're in a high school arts program.
Well, we have a classmate of ours, Solomon Noble. He's doing portraits of actors, celebrities, scientists that he really admires, and they're done with all black watercolor, I think. And they're amazing. They're some of my favorite pieces in this honors art class.
We have just one person doing photography, I believe, and then several people doing acrylic or watercolor, and then I believe we have one student who's doing like half digital and half acrylic, which is really interesting, and I think a lot of people will like that.
Mm-hmm. Any 3D art?
Jack Fox is doing pottery and ceramics this year.
Oh, great. Yeah, you have some amazing ceramic teachers.
Absolutely. Mr. Holmquist is excellent. Yes.
One of my favorites. So what are some of the best lessons that the teachers have taught you about making art? Silence. They're all thinking. Did you hear that? They were thinking.
It's hard because we have to just pick one. We have three incredible teachers, Mrs. Hauck, Mrs. Norrie, and Mr. Holmquist, and each of them, just through each of their mediums, has definitely taught us the best of what they do, and they've been amazing mentors throughout everything. I think they've all definitely helped us advertise our artwork and be proud of our artwork and make sure that we're not underselling ourselves. And so I think just building our confidence as artists has been a huge success as far as their teaching and their mentoring, and I couldn't be more grateful for all three of those teachers. So it's hard to pinpoint one specific thing.
It's okay. You did a great job. I think that you're right. They're all pretty amazing.
Yes.
How about for you, May? What do you think of?
Just endlessly motivated us to keep doing better and just adding to our art. Not that anything's wrong with it, but just that they know that we can do better and keep improving throughout the years. So it's just been great, like from ninth grade to now, I can see the improvement in myself and like even my personality. They just really helped motivate us.
Mm-hmm. Very compassionate, and it sounds like it's supportive no matter.
It's always supportive.
And obviously willing to let you experiment with all of the things that you're doing. What were some of the lessons that you learned?
Well, they really, each one of them is there to facilitate our imaginations. So they're never going to tell you that's a bad idea. They're going to help you through whatever concept you have, or help guide you through what you're trying to figure out or what you're trying to create if you can't conceptualize it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
They're always there to give you ideas.
Yeah. Very true.
Lots of ideas.
Yeah, and tell me about the show is going to be hung very soon. So where are you in the process of getting ready for that? What are you most excited about? What are you a little nervous about? What are you thinking about as you prepare this particular show? Again, I've got the name. It's DEP Art, so Depart from the Norm. The norm. Maybe we didn't define that either, did we?
No.
Well, we came up with the show idea.
Yeah.
The name. I was our class is really into puns and plays on words, and I think the art department always has been. So last year, what was the name of it last year?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah. And so I was just thinking of ways we could do that again. And I know my pieces, they're not made with a typical medium. Mays are different. There are a lot of different pieces and styles in this art show. So I wanted to encapsulate that with departing from the norm of just, I don't know, a drawing.
And what are you excited about for having your show at the Arts Guild?
I'm excited to see it all completed. It's a lot of work, and it's really satisfying for it all just to be done and up there, and it's really gratifying too, because it's your work and everyone can see it and you put so much effort into it, and here it is on mm-hmm. display.
Yeah.
As sad as I'm gonna be when the class is over, I can't wait to hang this show, because it is a lot of work, and it does get stressful, but I think, like Annie said, it's so satisfying to see all of your work looking nice on a gallery wall. And I think that just the recognition we get for doing that is amazing, and we wouldn't have it without the art department in Northfield, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have our fourth and final critique tomorrow, so it'll be good to just hear some last feedback, do some finishing touches, and then hopefully see a lot of people on opening night.
That's right. Yeah, we do want to have people put that on their calendars, the 18th from 7 to 9. I'll remind you next week, but we're doing the interview a little bit early so you can make sure that you make time for it. I'm wondering if you envisioned your own artistic journey, and if you could design the artistic life or the artistic adventures that you would have, what would some of those things be if you hope in the next 5 years that you dream about that? What would they be? What would your dreams, artistic dreams be?
I would love to just continue my work as an independent artist. Of course, I still love biology and like to make a career out of that, but it'd also be very fun to be a designer or, yeah, an independent artist of some sort, and just continue to have that creative passion and hobby in my back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
For one of our class field trips, we took a trip to a graphic design firm. And they were so cool and so inviting, and they design packaging for, well, the company we saw design packaging for like beer bottles and like their cases, and they just talked about the process that they went through, and I think that sounded like something that I would want to do, not obviously with that product, but like I could take that anywhere. And they also designed the Johnny Pops box.
The packaging,
and
right?
Yeah. So it just like shows how many options that they have to design all these things and all these companies coming to them. So I think that would be really cool. Not that that's my only option, but that's kind of what pushed me towards graphic design.
To see something you created on a store shelf with,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
your personal pinks and purples.
Exactly.
On a product. And what are your dreams?
Well, I love presenting. I love presentations. I love the visuals that are incorporated in it. So since I'm majoring in architecture, I'm really, really excited to create images of buildings and homes and just create presentations graphically. Like, that's like my dream. I love the clean lines and the organization, and it also takes a really strong visual sense to be able to put something like that together and have it appealing for other people to see. So that's how I hope to incorporate it.
Well, I hope all of your dreams come true, and I hope that you will definitely come back to Northfield and show us some of your work, you know, as you progress through your artistic career, and come back and share some adventures with us. I think it would be delightful, but we're not letting you go quite yet, because we've still got to get through this show, and you have graduation and all kinds of things. So I'm so pleased that you joined me today on ArtZany Radio. I really do appreciate it. I want to thank Anne France. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And May Hayes and Katie Brust from the Northfield Honors Art Program. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
I want to thank those wonderful students. I'm always impressed with the students who join me on the air. It's a little nerve-wracking sometimes for them because they haven't been on the radio before. And to be able to hear their stories, it's an important part of our community. And I'm delighted that they were here today. A couple other things on my art happy list that I want to mention to you. My guests last week from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra are presenting their concert Latin Inspirations on Friday the 18th at 7 at St. Dominic's Church. And then Saturday the 19th at 4:30 at the Paradise Center for the Arts. This is a concert that features music and performances by regional Hispanic artists, and the concert features musician Manny Laureano, the Minnesota Orchestra's principal trumpeter, as a guest soloist. And it premieres a commissioned concerto by the acclaimed composer Reynaldo Moya, who currently serves as assistant professor of composition at Augsburg University. And it features the Northfield Art Skills Baile Folclorico Mexicano. Then those also include a local vocalist, Guillermo Calderon. So it's an exciting concert. It's going to be performed under the direction of the CVRO founder and conductor, Dr. Paul Numisto. He was my guest last week. We had a lot of fun. I hope you'll go back and go to the KYMNradio.net archives, take a listen, get inspired, and join them for the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra Latin Inspirations Concert. You can get details at northfieldartsguild.org. If you're looking for something this summer, I want to let you know about the summer musical Little Shop of Horrors is going to be presented at the Paradise Center for the Arts. Those auditions are coming up soon, Thursday, May 17th from 6 to 8:30, and then on Friday, May 18th from 6 to 7:30. So get all of the details at theparadisecenterforthearts.org. Be a fun thing to do for this summer. And if you're interested, The Little Shop of Horrors is going to be presented at the Paradise Center for the Arts, and they're looking for actors to be in the production. So exciting times for that. Also want to mention the 8th Annual Latino Play Festival. This is Latino and Friends Play Festival. It's happening. It opens tonight, and then it runs two more nights, the 18th and 19th at 7 p.m. at the Northfield Arts Guild Theater. Ticket proceeds benefit the Latino Performing Arts class. I want to thank Jennifer Lomfort for all the work that she does in helping these students tell their stories and creating a night that really is about our community. And it's just a wonderful production. So I hope that you'll put that on your calendar as well. If you're thinking about heading up to the cities, I have a great opportunity. The U.S. Poet Laureate and Pulitzer Prize winner Tracy K. Smith is going to be in Minneapolis. She's going to be at the Talk of the Stacks presented by U.S. Bank and Star Tribune, BNSF Railway. This is at the Hennepin County Library. I think I forgot to, there's the address, 300 Nicollet Mall in Minneapolis. And let's see if I put the date. There it is. Gosh, I can't believe I didn't put the date on that. I do not have that. I got to grab that from my calendar. I believe it is coming up next week. So if you're interested in seeing Poet Laureate Tracy K. Smith, she is at the Talk of the Stacks at the Hennepin County Library at 300 Nicollet Mall in Minneapolis. I can grab that date for you, hopefully, next week. But I really hope that you do, whatever it is that you do, that you take some time to explore your imagination, find an opportunity to engage with the arts community. Just found that date for the Poet Laureate event. It is May 16th at the Hennepin County Library with Tracy K. Smith, Poet Laureate. So that would be a worthwhile field trip to be able to take. And I also hope you add some Art Zany to your life. This is Paula Granquist, and you've been listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Art Zany Radio for the Imagination with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.